Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
I'd like to bring on Dr. Sunith Bath. Sunith, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
You're doing a good day?
That's a great day.
All right. Well, Sunith, you're considered a leader in clear aligner therapy, and you've had unbelievable success in implementing your practice, and certainly you're passionate about it as well. Explain to our listeners why you're passionate about clear aligner therapy.
Well, I feel it genuinely benefits our patients. When you're throwing on the liners, you're making things a lot better for them from a health perspective. Okay. Obviously, you're going to get the aesthetics that are going to improve, and I think that's what a lot of people think clear aligner therapy is. But we're in the business of promoting health, and clear aligner therapy, I think, promotes that.
And that's very different from how most people think about clear aligner therapy. Mm-hmm. Most of us, at least I grew up thinking of orthodontics, tooth movement, about, especially on adults, is about making things look better. But really what you found in your practice is that focusing on the function and the health aspect of it has really made a big difference for you.
Yeah, it definitely has. We're in the Northwest, and so we're kind of in a health conscious area. But I think that if you throw the health component into it, it's going to help your dentistry in general, because you're going to, see patients that are going to improve in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So what led you to become interested and implement clear aligner therapy in your practice?
Well, I'd heard of clear aligner therapy as a dental student and got out and was in an associateship, and I wanted to take the course. And luckily, the dentist that I was with said, all right, go for it. He wasn't providing it. He saw my interest in it. I took it. I didn't do a lot of cases with him. Shortly thereafter, within a year, I bought my practice, and that was in 2007. It's probably when I really started, getting a little bit more Invisalign cases. But I wasn't doing a lot. I mean, I really didn't take off until just a few years ago.
Okay. And how is implementing Invisalign, clear aligner therapy, how has it impacted your professional aspect and your practice?
I think it just makes it so that you're able to do more things in your practice. I think when you're a practice that approaches things globally, I mean, your patients don't want to go anywhere if they can avoid it. So if you're able to offer something like clear aligner therapy in your practice, just one less thing they have to go to someone else for. And for my team, it's something fun to do. It's something different. So it just adds services for us.
Do you feel that it's had a financial impact on your practice?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we set goals for our team, and they know that we tie bonuses to the goals, and they know that if they are able to sell a clear aligner case, that it's easier to achieve those goals than than, you know, our bread and butter stuff.
And what about, what have you noticed in them from implementing clear aligner therapy? I mean, what, you know, you mentioned like it's fun, it's something to engage the team. Mm-hmm. Have you found that it was something that your team could be a way for them to move up in your practice?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, you know, it's kind of one of those things where you try to identify that person that has a passion for it, and then they can, that person, then you tell them, look, you can be my Invisalign or your clear aligner therapy lead. And, right. And so you incentivize them, tell them this is where I want to go with this, and kind of let them drive the practice for that particular department.
You know, I've always found that when you identify a person, I call them champions in our practice, mm-hmm. that it gives them a sense of ownership. It gives them a sense of purpose. Yes. And, and people want to be led and people want to have goals. But the challenge is it's kind of hard to have goals on crowns and fillings. It's not as satisfying or it's not as rewarding to say when you're focused on traditional general dentistry. And one of the things we talk about when we talk about pivoting your practice is about going beyond traditional dental school, traditional dentistry, and really adding new services to your practice. And the key, would you say, in your practice, one of the keys is you're not really attracting these patients. Would you say a lot of these patients are already in your practice?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we see patients all the time in hygiene. It's similar to sleep apnea and, right. and other things. But you see them all the time, and it's a very easy conversation to have with them that, look, you've got crowding here, and the reason why the hygienist spending extra time cleaning your teeth is, and it doesn't feel so great, is because those teeth they accumulate a lot more debris.
Right.
And so then that conversation leads into, okay, this is what we can
what
do
are
to
solutions?
Fix that. Correct.
Right. You say, you know, I think it's a great segue. So you say that's a very easy conversation to have, but yet so many practices, including my own practice, mm-hmm. has truly struggled at implementing Invisalign, clear aligner therapy, whatever we want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, what would you say are the three obstacles holding dentists back from doing more or truly implementing this type of treatment at a high level in their practice?
Well, the first thing I think is confidence. Okay. And that's probably what held me back initially for the years that I was a clear aligner therapy provider and why I didn't do too many cases is I just wasn't confident in it.
And when you say you weren't confident, what do you mean by that? What were you not confident about? That you shouldn't have been doing it?
I think it was just that I didn't feel like I had the tools or the knowledge that I could do a case and it would turn out well. I mean, I would dabble in cases and, you know, be like dentures. You just continuously be married to this thing. Yeah. And it would, and frankly, I think the product has gotten better. Yeah. So it is also education. We got to keep, you know, on top of it. And yeah. I continuously am trying to learn more and more. And
that's, so what that's I'm what hearing I'm, you say is probably, you know, to put my words into your mouth mm-hmm. here is that you did a few cases, you dabbled in it. It didn't turn out great.
Yeah.
You may have done refinement after refinement after refinement.
Yeah.
You may have gotten the patient half, three quarters of the way there, 90% of the way there. You weren't happy with the outcome. The patient wasn't happy with the outcome. The patient resigned to saying, okay, that's good enough. Or yeah. worst case scenario, you weren't happy with the outcome and you actually ended up refunding the patient the money because of the unhappiness.
Luckily, it never got to that point for me. I think it does get to that point yeah. for a lot
it has
of people.
For me.
But it would take a long time and the patient would be frustrated because here's, you know, clear aligner therapy. A lot of times we would like to think it's a little quicker.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when a patient's in a case for 5 years, they're not happy about
no,
it.
No, especially and, if you tell them it's going to be 12 to 18 yeah. months. And then it turns out to be, you know, a few months longer is no big deal, but when it turns out to be double that, it's really yeah. challenging. So we're talking about three obstacles. Number mm-hmm. one was the confidence. Mm-hmm. And then what would you say the number two obstacle is?
It would be for most practice, it would be implementation.
Talk to me about that. What do you mean by that?
That's basically getting your systems down, getting your team trained. The first thing you'd need to do is once you learn what you need to do from your point of view, then try and teach them what they need to do from their point of view.
So you're talking about them as the team members.
Correct. Like okay. Hygiene, helping with diagnosis, assistants mm-hmm. helping with scanning. attachments, things like that. So then you have to be able to tell the team, like, this is how I want us to diagnose the patient. This mm-hmm. is how I want, then step two is, and so on and so forth from every single appointment down the line. Yeah. So
what I'm hearing you say is implementation is more about a little bit of leadership.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, about, yep. you know, and then let me ask this question, because you talk about your team a lot with this. Mm-hmm. How much of this are you actually doing?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Not much. I mean, mm-hmm. I designed the case, and
so you look at the ClinCheck or whatever correct. Different yeah. service there is, yeah. and you approve and design that the final outcome is what you and the patient discussed.
Yeah, and I think initially that's where the work is for us as doctors. Right. We're designing the case. We're figuring out when there's a refinement, then you have to redesign the case. That's where the work is for us. Mm-hmm. Then the rest of it's handled by the team.
I mean, okay. And when you say the rest of it, what does that mean? Attachments?
Attachments, scanning, okay. Those kinds of things.
Delivery, follow-ups?
Delivery. I mean, you will be doing like IPR.
Okay.
If you're adding adjunct services, which we do, such as Propel, you would be doing those kinds of things. But it doesn't take up that much of your time.
So you can kind of put it on a side column?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so this isn't something that necessarily sits on your column where you're taking up your restorative implant, whatever it may be, time to do that.
Yeah, it's not a major thing. It's kind of considered like a crown seat.
Okay, absolutely. If you use a dovetail schedule, that makes total sense.
Correct.
So we're talking about the three obstacles. Obstacle number one was confidence. Mm-hmm. Obstacle number two is implementation. And what would you say the third obstacle is?
The third obstacle is basically trying to get patients to do the treatment. Case acceptance.
All right. So what have you done in your practice to improve case acceptance?
Again, it's kind of a health approach. Okay. So there's four key things I focus on. One is the perio. Okay. So we talk about that. That's probably the biggest thing you can show a patient, especially in crowding cases.
And that really speaks to your hygienist, correct?
Correct.
Because the hygienists want to focus on, and I hear this all the time, is how do I get my hygienist more involved? How do I get mm-hmm. my hygienist more involved in whatever it is we want to do? And what I like about what you're saying, and I don't know if you really knew that you did this or not, is that you said, okay, how do I relate this particular product that we want to offer in our practice, and how do I relate it to my hygienist so that they don't question your motives and that they have a vested interest or a comfort level back to that confidence of talking about it to the patients?
Yeah, I mean, it's very easy for them. I mean, it's you know, you take a quick intro photo and show them, okay, here's what I'm, you know, and for them, again, they can tell the patient, well, this is why it doesn't feel so good when I'm cleaning your teeth, and I can fix this.
So a before picture, before you start cleaning, mm-hmm. with a good camera would be great.
Yep.
And then maybe an after picture after the cleaning, and to be able to show, hey, listen, this is how hard we had to work. Mm-hmm. This is why, and here's a choice. At the end of the day, Mrs. Jones and Mr. Jones, you don't have to do anything about it. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make sure you're aware of these options. And truthfully, these are the consequences of not doing something about this.
Correct.
Continued bone loss because of debris, bacteria accumulation, all of those things.
Yeah, and if you have a scanner, it's very easy.
Yeah,
and
so then, something like the iTero, where it has an immediate ClinCheck to where you can show your patient exactly what's going on, so you're able to leverage technology. And how much are your hygienists using such a device like the iTero?
Quite a bit. It's very easy. So it doesn't take them long to do a scan, and they can pull it up and they can show the before and afters. And that's super powerful for the patient.
And it also serves as a documentation of their condition, where they started. And over time, you can actually show them how their teeth have changed and moved and worn over time with something like that.
Yeah, and that leads to the second thing is wear. You know, so like you said, you could show them the wear. And then the third thing I'd tell them is they'll have less decay, again, because of cleanliness. And then the fourth thing is sensitivity. You know, you're going to have less sensitivity if your teeth
meet each other. Talk to me about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, just when your occlusion's better, you know, there's teeth that if you, for instance, I mean, if we leave a crown high or something, the patient's going to come back and be like, well, you know, this doesn't feel so good. It's I just tell them it's kind of the same thing with their teeth. If you're hitting a tooth in a certain way, sure, you're going to have the attrition, the bone loss, and all that stuff, but it's not going to feel so good.
What is the best way for dentists? Because I haven't met a dentist yet that says, hey, I don't want to implement these things. It's more about I've tried, I failed.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had the success. It's not worth it. I'm not doing enough of it to justify really making a push towards it. What would you say is the best way to overcome these three obstacles of confidence, implementation, and case acceptance?
I think the first thing is you have to seek out the CE. Okay. And so.
And by the way, that CE isn't even easy to find.
No, it's not. And it's not easy always to get into, you know, so that, I guess there is a challenge there, but once you find the right CE that works for you, then use that to gain confidence, and maybe take on start. That will lead you to take on tougher cases, and that's where it gets a little more gratifying.
So you can cast a wider net,
correct,
of patients that you're willing to treat.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then implementation, you know, you just develop the systems. I mean, for every single patient that comes in, when we're doing a new patient exam, a recall exam, there is a sheet that I look at, and it says Invisalign discuss, it says apnea discuss, and I can look at that and be like, okay, this has already been done, you know. And so the other thing is that if it has been discussed, don't be afraid to discuss it again.
Right.
I think a lot of times
to revisit it,
we get afraid of rejection, you know, and so we're not going to talk to the patient again. When if that's what you want to do, and if that's what your practice is, you should be able to do it whenever you want. I have a patient who I'm just started a case on. I've been talking to her for 10 years about this, and she finally is doing Invisalign, and she's super happy she's doing it. So they'll do it at their own time. So that it's implementation. The third thing, as far as the consult goes, is just doing it over and over again and making sure you're touching on the things that are important to you. For me, it's the health. And so I will just keep talking to them from a health perspective. And I think they feel like they're not really being sold. They feel like they're like, this guy's actually
health is an
he
easy
cares.
Way to lead in about having them do Invisalign for the right reasons and not because you're trying to sell them something to make them look better. But the side effect is also, hey, you're going to look better too.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how I put it. I tell them it's a nice side effect. Like, I don't care about it, but you're going to be happier with
it. And you can whiten your teeth at the same time and all of those things. So earlier you had mentioned that really get successful until about 2 years ago or 3 years ago with the liner therapy, but you've been offering it for a long time. Talk to me about why that happened.
Well, I took Dr. David Galler's course, and I believe, and again, these are the type of courses that we want to seek out. He just taught me basically how to do it easy, and you know, like predictable. You're going to get it done in this many aligners. You can treat these cases. And I think that's where I was like, okay, now I've got my confidence up. Now I know I can do these cases and they'll turn out okay. And I'm not going to, it's not going to cost me more money to do it than, you know, like
just in time alone.
Yeah. And so, and it's not going to frustrate my staff. Yeah. So that's,
I think ultimately what, you know, and I've been through Galler's course as well. And,
yeah.
And we've seen a big increase in our part that way, is what I really learned there is I gained the confidence of knowing what cases to tackle. Mm-hmm. And it was not just easy cases, but it was being able to look at someone and say, okay, this is probably a case that I'm not going to get done. And I was really able to develop a field goal about what fit within my business model and what cases were right for me. And to me, then we became confident and then we were able to present. And then we, you know, we knew which patients we'd take on, because oftentimes we'll start a case and we'll let this one case ruin it for everybody else, you know?
Yeah. And that's such a great point, is that you can't get scared because of, you know, one patient or one case or, you know, something that just didn't go right, because there's so many cases that do turn out really great, and even tough ones. And like you said, you know, make it work for your practice. If I want to do Propel, or if I see a tough case, I'll be like, you know what, I need to charge a little bit more for this. But this is why, and I recommend that we do Propel to make it better. And then I explain to them why we do that. And so, you know, I don't by any means discount what I'm doing. I'm going to make sure I get paid for what I do, but I want to also make sure that they understand they're going to get a great product at the end.
A great result.
Yeah.
So, all right. So if a dentist says, hey, listen, I get it. Whatever, this is not right for me, and they choose not to add something like this to their practice, what are they missing out on?
Well, I think you're missing out. It's a lot of fun. You know, you're missing out on when those cases do turn out well, which a vast majority of them do. The gratitude that the patient has. And it's not just the aesthetic cases. It's the cases where they feel their bite's better. Or
the breath is better.
There you go. You know, those kinds of things. And I think that's what a lot of us enjoy. You know, like when you do that anterior crown case and it comes out great and the patient's super happy about it. I feel that's what you miss out on.
Yeah. So. You know, I'd like to add something to that. And I kind of use this joke over and over again is... I've never had a patient get up out of the chair and say, thank you for buckle pitting me, you know? Yeah. And so that's what Invisalign is to me, or clear aligner therapy, whatever, Smile Correct, whatever they're all great products, you know? And the other thing I look at it, what they're missing out on, is they're missing out on the next step in their practice. Mm-hmm. They're missing out on potentially losing that patient because they may become interested in, because of the consumer marketing that's going on, and they may try to find a provider that can offer them all those services or just that service. And they go there and like, why am I not in this practice? And I think that's what some practices are starting to experience, is this slow attrition, and they're wondering why their patients are going away. And the truth is they're just not keeping up with the services, not to mention the technology and the decor and the aesthetics of modern dentistry, but even the services that are available. And I think it's a systemic issue of a mentality that can lead down a path that's not good for the overall business and practice.
Well, I 100% agree with you. I mean, you have to diversify in this day and age.
Well, it's just like the stock market, right?
Yeah, exactly. It keeps you fresh. You know, when you're doing something different. But they'll seek. I mean, we see a lot of patients. We actually, a lot of patients come in and become patients of ours because they see that we provide this service. We provide other services that their dentist may not provide.
And it gives your patients a reason to talk about your practice.
Yep.
Very few patients are going to go talk about, oh my God, my dentist does the best fillings in the world, you know?
Yeah.
But when you can talk about something that is unique, or that not every practice is offering or not offering at a higher level, I think there's something valuable there. Yeah. All right. So a dentist is on the fence. They listen to you talk and they say, hey, you know what? I think I'm ready to do this. What is the number one reason they should add Invisalign or clear aligner therapy to their practice?
Well, I think it's one of those things that you can do as a team. Yeah. And from helping in hygiene, helping diagnose it, to the assistants, And to the front desk, everyone gets involved with it, and they get involved with it in a very fun way. Yeah. And the patients, when they leave and their case is done, and you know, everyone sees their smile, and that's where I think, you know, it's something that you won't regret putting into your practice. So,
you know, when I speak across the country, one of the most common issues I hear from dentists, outside of insurance as one of the challenges in their practice, is team.
Yeah.
Like, how do I hire the best? How do I maintain the best? How do I pay the best? Mm-hmm. And the truth is when you don't implement procedures like Invisalign, you're one step behind.
Yeah.
Because it's going to increase your revenue in your practice. And when your practice revenue increases, there's more to share. Okay. It's going to give your team members a sense of being a part of something that's modern and something that's moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's going to give your team members a chance to grow and to really have a path forward. It's like, you know, and I think this is the challenge in dentistry is we don't have the perspective of the traditional employee at a larger company. Mm-hmm. Where they walk in at bottom level and they move up, right? You know, most of the time the person doesn't become CEO by just walking in as CEO. They start here. We've always heard the stories of, hey, I started middle management, moved to upper management, and then I moved to an executive position, and that's how we move forward. And we're not creating enough of that in our practices. And that is, again, you know, when team members look around, they talk to others. We have social media. And when they see hey, I graduated with that person, look what they're doing. Why am I not doing that? And I'd love to do that. You know, and that's how we start losing team members.
Well, and it's all about creating owners, right? So something like this, when you're doing different things and they believe in your practice, and, you know, I think that goes a long way. Maybe even some cases, sometimes more than the money side of things.
Oh, absolutely.
That they want to be a part of something that's exciting.
Yeah.
And so by doing different procedures like this, you're making it exciting for them.
You know, I think it's the best word I can use to describe this is it creates a better culture in your practice.
Yep.
And when you can implement something, you know, and quite frankly, I hate to say it this way, but I look at Invisalign as probably the gateway drug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there is so much consumer momentum behind Invisalign.
Yeah.
They're doing such a good job of creating awareness that if an office can learn to implement and gain case acceptance there, they're going to have easier time doing implants. They're going to have a much easier time doing sleep. They're going to have a much easier time doing cosmetic cases. All of these things become easier because you've already tasted what success looks like, and you've gotten past that traditional dental school dentistry of a $500, $1,000, or $2,000 treatment plan, and you moved up along the way.
Well, and that's where it becomes easier to implement it, because you approach everything from an occlusion standpoint. Like you said, like before you do an implant, you're like, well, you know what? I could place an implant in a better spot if I do an Invisalign.
Right.
Even before sleep apnea, even though there's some tooth shifting
that
happens, I will still tell the patient, look, if I'm going to make you an apnea appliance, I need to talk to you about this before I do it, because I can get your teeth in a better position before I do the apnea appliance. So, you know, it's just having that mentality that we're going to think about getting the teeth in the right position first before I do anything big. And a lot of patients see that makes sense.
Well, Suneet, what I've heard from you is that Invisalign has made a massive impact in your practice, that you started out long ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and that you dabbled in it for a very long time. You didn't give up, but you took some education and some training. You brought your team members on board. You leveraged technology with iTero. Mm-hmm. And in the last 2 or 3 years, you've seen significant success. And how would you define significant success? What's the number of cases somebody can look at?
You know, it's very easy. I think if we go with a per month type thing, I would start slow and just try and get one case per week.
Okay.
If you can do 50 cases in 6 months, I think you're doing pretty darn good.
Okay. So 100 cases a year is reasonable. 100 cases
a year, I think, is very doable.
Okay. And even, but listen, at the end of the day, 20 cases a year is $100,000 in revenue.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, so.
And those patients are in your practice. Yeah. So it's
what percentage of your patients are coming from within your practice?
Probably 90%.
So 90% of your 100, 120 cases, whatever you're doing, 90% of them are basically coming through hygiene.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
Easy to identify.
And that fits so well in our philosophy of you don't have to grow your practice physically to grow your practice business-wise.
Correct.
Yeah. Sunith, I want to thank you. Yeah. For our listeners that want to learn more, bend your ear about what you've done, or if they have questions, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
They can reach me at my office. Impressions Dentistry is the name of it. It's in Olympia, Washington. Phone numbers 360-493-1866.
You seem hesitant on that.
I think about that. My email address is Sunit0, my first name, Sunit05@yahoo.com.
So, you know, Yahoo is a very old email address.
I know. I'm too lazy.
What about social media? You're on Facebook, Instagram, yes, all of those things?
Yeah.
They can message you and all of that. They can request you as a friend.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to get me to do one of these little races that you do?
Oh, yeah. Spartan race. Yeah. I would love it if you came out and did one.
So I think here's the deal, okay? I think our listeners would probably pay you money to get me to do a Spartan race.
It's a good goal to have. They're a lot of fun.
Well, I think you should take it on as your goal to get me to do one.
All right.
Like, let's show up for one.
Okay.
The question is, can I start it and can I finish it?
Look, when I did my first one, I was like, what the heck is this small little Indian dude doing trying to get over some of these big, huge, like 6-foot obstacles? And I tell you what, when you, it's probably like stuff in our practice, yeah. Right? When you accomplish it, things you don't think you can accomplish, it's a good feeling. So,
yeah. Thank you, Sunit.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right.